I think a lot of people don't realize is the work really starts when you get it under contract. The work really starts when you actually purchase it, when you close, because then you have to execute the business plan that you've been telling everybody that you're going to do. And that's what we're trying to do right now is execute the business plan on that property and 8 others.
Welcome to Passive Income Unlocked, where we unlock the doors to intelligent, hands-off real estate investing. We talk to experts in the space about what they do, how they do it, and most importantly, why they do it. My passion is careful, intelligent investing and closing the investing gap one investor at a time. While money doesn't buy happiness, passive income does have the potential to buy back your time. What would you choose to do with your time if you had enough passive income to live your best life? How would you like to spend your days? What kind of impact would you like to make? I'm here to tell you, dream big. There's no ceiling. It's all possible if you take consistent action towards your goals. It's been said that success is 80% mindset and 20% strategy. So we discuss both. Ready to gain knowledge and take action? Let's dive in. Hey everyone, and welcome back to the show today. I'm super excited to introduce our guest for the day, Brian Briscoe. Brian, thanks so much for being here.
Thanks, Suja, for having me. I appreciate it.
Awesome. Well, everyone, Brian is co-founder of the multifamily investing firm Four Oaks Capital. He is also the host of the Diary of an Apartment Investor podcast. He's an active duty Marine Lieutenant Colonel, retiring very soon after 20 years of service. Awesome. Well, Brian, why don't you give us a little bit more about your background, about how you got into real estate while, being active duty?
Getting into real estate, I think, it's going to sound cliche because everybody says it. Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Okay. I read Rich Dad, Poor Dad. It was about 2005-ish. I was stationed overseas. I was in Japan at the time. And I started thinking, funny, he talks a lot about commercial real estate in his book, Robert Kiyosaki. So he's got a couple of books in the series. But I remember thinking, man, this commercial real estate sounds awesome, but it sounds way too complicated for someone like me to learn. All right. And so I basically dumbed it down to what I could do. And I started investing in savings bonds and my 401k. That's literally what I started thinking about as far as assets, Wow. Slowly I started reading books about real estate. I met a couple of guys that were also in the military. Every time they moved, they would buy a house. And I was thinking, okay, I can do that. A couple of years later, we moved back stateside and I cashed in my savings bonds for a down payment on a house. And that's what I did. So bought a first investment property. We lived in it for a little bit and then turned it into an investment property, moved again, bought a house, moved out and turned it into an investment property. So that's how I got started. It was that purple book plus putting it in action, which I think is the most important. And then I had probably like a 10-year drought where we didn't buy anything new. And, in that 10 years, we had lived overseas again. I think I deployed 3 times and, a lot of other stuff got in the way and I kind of got sidetracked from my investing goals. But about 3 years ago, when I realized, hey, I'll be at my 20-year mark soon, I'll be able to retire. I decided to kick it into high gear again. And instead of going after single families, I decided that apartments. I look at apartments as, buy one, get 50 free or get 100 free type sale. So you can go through the same process of buying one single family home. It's a little more complicated to buy multifamily, but it's not that much more complicated. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I looked at it as a way to scale and it has the same fundamentals as real estate. So I looked at it as win-win and bought into some educational programs, paid quite a bit of money actually. My wife calls it my master's in multifamily, and goes along well with this podcast name as well. But so yeah, I bought into a coaching program, some education mm-hmm. programs, learned the trade and once again, put everything to action. And here we are with 500 units that we've closed on, another 140 something under contract.
Awesome. Love it. So just a question about retiring. I'm not really familiar. So when you can retire after 20 years, why do you still have these investing goals? Is it that there's not that much income in retirement? Tell me about that.
So the military retirement, the military pay is, there's different buckets. There's different, lines on my pay sheet where money comes in. I get Basic pay is about 2/3 of what I get as far each month. And my retirement pay is going to be 50% of my basic pay. So, you know, I will get a pension for the rest of my life, but it's a significant pay cut from what I'm making right now. So part of what I did with multifamily was to replace the difference between, you know, what I'm making on active duty and what I will make when I retire, you know. So fortunately, in the last 3 years, we've gotten to the point to where we're comfortable with that. We, you know, we'll be able to maintain the same standard of living. So yeah, I'll get a pension, but my pension's not going to, like I said, it's going to be about a third of what I'm actually making right now.
Right. That makes sense. Okay, great. So, you know, a lot of us start out with that little purple book and
yeah,
it's very great for shifting the mindset. And, you know, it sounds like you've done a very, like a quite a lot in a short period of time since you started purchasing multifamily. Can you tell us about that first multifamily deal that you did?
Yeah. You know, the first one's always the hardest in a lot of ways. You know, it's the hardest to get under contract. As a new investor, it's really hard to get brokers to take you seriously. You know, it seems like the deck's stacked against you. And honestly, I think it is. I think the deck is stacked against the new investors. But it just took a lot of grinding, a lot of calling, a lot of persistence, a lot of grit, a lot of keep on going, even though, you know, things didn't work out. You know, I've probably put in 5 or 8 offer letters, and I'm not the type that puts offer letters in on everything that I see. When I think that I have a competitive shot is when I put in the offer letters. But after continually working through it, you know, talking with my mentor, getting better at what I was doing, I found some partners, which was huge, you know, partnered up with some people. We finally made it over the hurdle, finally got a property under contract. It was a $4 million purchase in Spartanburg, South Carolina, which is one of the faster growing cities in the nation right now. Pre-COVID, I saw an article from said that they were the 19th fastest growing city in the US in 2019. So metro is growing really well. And it was a B-class asset in downtown Spartanburg, South Carolina. And it was difficult, I would say. I mean, if you compare and contrast, we've got 144 units under contract right now with a $3 million raise. It took us a week to raise $3 million. You know, on our first raise, we tried to raise $2 million and it took us 4 months to raise $2 million. We had to extend the contract once because we hadn't finished the raise yet. But so yeah, needless to say, it was a lot of work. It was a lot of learning. It was a lot of, you know, leaning on mentors and more experienced investors and trying to get it across the finish line. And we finally did. And it's something that I think a lot of people don't realize is the work really starts when you get it under contract. The work really starts when you actually purchase it, when you close, you know, yeah, because then you have to execute the business plan that you've been telling everybody that you're going to do.
Yeah.
And that's what we're trying to do right now is execute the business plan on that property and 8 others.
Yeah, that's definitely quite a stack of tasks that you've got. So In terms of just like want to circle back on something you said about, mm-hmm, you know, kind of the grit and just getting across that finish line for that first deal. I mean, you mentioned some of the things like taking a while to do the raise, having to extend the contract and just putting offers in the first place. Like, how did you keep going during that time? And, you know, what sort of strategies did you use to keep pushing forward?
On my podcast, I talked a lot about the big burning why. And the reason I talk about it is because that's what pushed me through, was my big burning why. And, you know, I had a daily affirmation. I've since changed it, but my daily affirmation was basically, I'm committed to replacing my annual income by October 31st of 2021. You know, and that's one thing that I kept in front of me. You know, I didn't want to, you know, being in the military, I've moved 10 times in 20 years. You know, my oldest daughter, she's in college now. She went to 11 different schools before graduating high school. And I wanted to have a different life for my younger kids than my older kids. And so just reminding myself of that every day, and that October 31st would be the date that I could retire from the Marine Corps, you know, and realizing that I needed to replace my annual income before I'd be comfortable taking that step. I reminded myself every single morning that I needed to replace my annual income by October 31st. Because that's when my paycheck runs out, October 31st, 2021. So my big burning why is I want to be there for my family. I want to be with my kids on their birthdays, with my wife on her birthday. I want to be there on Christmas. I want to be there on Thanksgiving. I want to celebrate our anniversary, you know, dumb things like that, that sometimes the Marine Corps wouldn't let me do. But that was my big burning why. And that's what drove me. That's what pushed me past the hard spots. It was just understanding why I was doing it and why I was putting that extra sacrifice in.
For sure. That's a really powerful why that you have there, just actually being able to be more present with your family and kids. And I think a lot of real estate investors have that to some degree, but getting crystal clear on what your specific why is. Do you ever help passive investors help them figure out their why? Is that something that you talk about, or is it different for passive investors and active investors?
This show is sponsored by Lux Capital Investment Group. Lux Capital provides pre-vetted, highly favorable investment opportunities on a risk-adjusted basis. Our opportunities are diversified across asset classes, geographies, and operators. We are nothing short of rigorous in our approach to evaluating investments. We focus on downside protection, conservative underwriting, recession-resistant asset classes, and forging strong relationships with operating partners and investors. If you want to be an intelligent, hands-off investor and gain access to the types of deals that I like to invest in personally, make sure to go to lux-cap.com, L-U-X-E-C-A-P.com, and sign up for our newsletter.
I don't help them figure out their why, but I think what I try to do is help them understand how real estate investing can help them with their goals. So in general, when I start a phone call with somebody who's a potential passive investor, I'm going to ask them, what are your investing goals? If they don't know what their investing goals are, I typically am going to say, hey, look, let's not even talk about investing in our product until you know why you're investing. Because I want to make sure that, number one, you're a good match for us, but that we're a good match for you as well. So I think everybody has to establish their own why. I think I get more calls from people who want to do what I'm doing than I get from passive investors. But, and it's the same thing with them, you know, it's why are you doing this? I'm working on an educational program that we're building right now called the Tribe of Titans. And the very first lesson in the educational content tells everybody to start with why, you know, you've got to have that big burning why. So, and it's got to be something that comes from inside somebody, you know, so got to be raw, got to be emotional, and it's got to drive somebody. So yeah, I think I do a lot to try to help people figure out what their why is. Just tell them, hey, it's important and you know it's going to get you through when a lot of other things won't.
Yeah, for sure. You know, it's something that I feel like it gets harped on in the sort of entrepreneurial space and the real estate space too. Mm-hmm. That's because it's so critical, right? To drive us forward into taking action and being out of our comfort zone and continuing to push forward on a path that isn't necessarily straightforward or easy. So it's super critical. And thanks for breaking it down like that.
Yeah.
So Brian, you know, how have you gotten to where you are with real estate? I mean, can you tell us like maybe some things that come to mind about how you've progressed down this path?
You know, I'd say a lot of it has come from when I reflect back. You obviously have to have a certain level of knowledge to do what we do. You have to know how to underwrite and analyze properties. You have to know how to do rent comps and sales comps. And you have to know how to, you know, do budgets and, you know, renovations and things like that. But I think the things that have helped me grow by leaps and bounds were people more than an education. You know, being around people who were doing things, doing the things that I wanted to do has led to more growth than reading another book or listening to another podcast. I mean, those things are important. I'm not downplaying it. I'm just saying that the people in my life have been more important. You know, being around somebody who just closed on a 200 unit at one point completely changed my mindset, completely made me realize that if he can do it, I can learn how to do it too. Or just to think bigger, like, yeah, being around somebody who just closed on a 200 unit apartment and you're looking at 12 unit apartments, you know, made me start thinking, maybe I ought to start looking at bigger things. Maybe I ought to start, you know, expanding what I do. But end of the day, being around people who are doing what I wanted to do has led to the most growth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's such wise advice. And how have you found those people?
A variety of ways. There's a lot of communities that are set up, you know, multifamily investing communities. There's a lot of meetups you can go to. And I think pre-COVID, a lot of it was in-person meetups, and hopefully you live in an area where they have them. But, you know, once COVID shut everything down, all of these virtual meetups started showing up. And I do run two. I do a monthly one and a weekly one as well. But you just got to find where they hang out. And a lot of experienced investors show up to these meetups. You don't pay for the big tickets to go to these, to some of the events. I'm not saying this because I have an event to promote. I don't. But the first time that I got around a lot of people, you know, I probably paid $1,000 for the ticket to go to a big event. And that was something that really shifted my mindset. So lots of different ways, lots of different groups, not to, you know, beat my own chest, but that's part of the community that we're developing, the Tribe of Titans that I briefly mentioned before, is to try to bring experienced and aspiring people together. And that's also part of what the podcast does. You know, we have an Ask the Expert episode where we have an experienced investor and an aspiring investor on each episode just for that reason.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think that's such a critical point, is that the people that you surround yourself with are going to push you to new heights. And so if you can surround yourself with people who are doing things that you want to do, then it will naturally, it almost helps remove the effort, I think, if you can actually put yourself, not that it's not still work, but like, it just compels you to do more, I think.
Yeah. You also see that your efforts, you see that your time in the trenches are actually going to pay dividends when you see the other people who are doing what you want to do, you know, who are, you know, potentially making, you know, closing on deals and making more money than you're making.
Yeah, for sure. Totally. Do any sort of experiences come to mind, Brian, that were challenges that you had to overcome when you were doing your multifamily acquisitions and renovations, et cetera?
There's always challenges. I think the most challenges, we've had a couple of different property managers, you know, and you know, some property managers are good at some things, some property managers are good at other things. And so that's one of the challenges we've had, is just trying to be able to work with property managers to get to execute your business plan. I mean, they're really where the rubber meets the road. And like I said, we've had five different property managers on our properties, and I think we've settled with one that hopefully will be a much longer term relationship. But, you know, with each of the property managers, like I said, some of them are really good at occupancy and not very good at renovations. And we had another property management company that was really good at doing the renovations quick, on time and on budget, but they weren't good at signing leases, you know? So definitely on the operations side, that's been one of the big challenges, is just, you know, making sure the property managers are doing what, executing our business plan instead of executing their business plan, you know? So you need to find that happy medium where, you know, you find a property manager that's doing both. They obviously have a business plan that they need to execute to make money, but, you know, in order for the relationship to work, they have to be executing our business plan too.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, property management is just such a key player when it comes to managing these assets. And do you have any sort of learnings or words of wisdom for selecting a property manager? We know when you are maybe, when you don't have one already in mind.
That's the really hard thing, because, you know, everything that I've heard suggested, you know, I've seen these lists of, you know, 101 questions you should ask and stuff like that. But looking back at it, I would say don't take the cheapest. You get what you pay for. I think part of it was, you know, when we were a small company looking at budgets, we're like, well, these guys charge 10%. These guys only charge 8%. We're going to go with the 8% guys. You know, number one, don't go with the discount guys. But number two, definitely ask for references from other operators. We asked for referrals from other people in the business, but no owners, which was, you know, kind of dumb. This is the property management company we hired. You know, we asked the broker's opinion. Oh, yeah, they're pretty good. You know, we asked, we're going with a local lender. We asked the lender's opinion. Hey, what do you think about this property management company? Oh, yeah, they're really, really good. But what we didn't do is ask some of the other owners, and maybe that would have helped out. But yeah, ask them for referrals, ask them for some of the other owners, and see if you can just talk to the other owners, their honest opinions.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's a great suggestion for folks, like when they're selecting a property manager.
Yeah, sounds obvious, right? I mean, most things are, I guess, but yeah.
So in your capital raises, I'm curious, Brian, like when you're meeting new investors, what are some of the common threads that help an investor become someone who's maybe newer to the space, become comfortable with investing with you?
Something that I like to do is refer them to a couple of people in our company, you know. So there's four founding members. We've since brought on a fifth partner. But number one, you know, I'll get on the phone with them. If I get on the phone with them first, I always make the offer, hey, you know, I'd like you to feel comfortable with the whole team. Would you like to get on with somebody else, you know, and then set that up. If sometimes they have hangups over certain things. I mean, the new investors may have a burning question. You know, I try to answer all their questions, but, you know, if they have a question on, well, what do you do in this scenario? I'm like, you know, that'd be a really good question for you to talk over with Eric, because he's the one that handles that part of our business. I can give them the answers fairly well. But what I found is the more people inside the company that they're familiar with, the more likely they are to invest. But really, I think what it is they have to be comfortable with the team and they have to be comfortable with the investment. You know, so like I said, I start all the calls with asking them what their investment criteria is. After I talk with them on the phone for the first time, I'll send a follow-up email to them. Hey, you know, you had questions on this one. Here's a link to our last deal you can look over and then just follow up.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, makes sense. I mean, everyone's got a little bit of a different pathway to getting comfortable with these types of investments. And yeah, I think that's all really helpful advice. So Brian, before we sign off, is there anything else you would like to share with the listeners? And, you know, anything I didn't ask, anything that you want to touch on?
You know, I think you had a lot of really solid questions, you know, just depending on which direction they're going, be comfortable. I think really I'd say, you know, when you're looking investment opportunities, if you're a passive investor, is the team is more important than what's on paper. And that's really where you should put a lot of your energy is vetting the team. But other than that, I mean, I think you had a lot of great questions. I can't think of anything else that really needs to be said.
Okay. Well, you know, I'm sure there's many more stories and topics that we could dive into, but thank you so much for sharing so much value already with our listeners. And would you please let everyone know how they can get in touch with you and anything else you want to share?
Yeah. So email address is brianbriscoe@fouroakscapital.com. And then, you know, the website, fouroakscapital.com, super simple. And the educational community, the multifamily community that we're building is going to be called Tribe of Titans. And the website is thetribeoftitans.info. And you should be able to get all the information there, launching on July 7th.
Awesome. Well, I hope you all take a chance to check out what he's got going on. Thank you so much, Brian, for coming on and sharing so much valuable information with our listeners. We'll see you next time.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to Passive Income Unlocked. Before you go on to continue with your amazing day, please take a moment to reflect on what you truly desire in life. Then think about one thing you can do to push the ball forward in that direction. Also, please head over to iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts and leave an honest rating and review of this show. It really would mean so much to me. Passive Income Unlocked is brought to you by Lux Capital. Lux works with investors nationwide to invest in real estate. We are closing the investing gap one investor at a time. Connect online at www.lux-cap.com, LUXE-CAP.com. For tons of free educational content to further your success.